What's up, everyone? This is Dariusz Kalbaczyk, co-founder of ng-poland, js4land, angularmaster.dev and workshopfest.dev. Welcome back to the Angular Master Podcast. Today, we've got a special guest from San Francisco, USA. So, he is an Angular product lead at Google, podcaster, author, blogger, speaker, star, just a star. Ladies and gentlemen, Minko Getchev.
Hi, Derek. Like, very high expectations. Let's see if I'm going to meet them.
Okay, so hi, Minko. How is going?
Yeah, pretty good. Happy to see you today.
Amazing. So, last time we talked about Angular 70 plus. So, today is the time to talk about Angular 18 plus. So, but before we start to talking about Angular 18, Angular experiencing a renaissance now. So, why do you think?
Yeah. So we have been calling the Angular momentum or Angular Renaissance. So we, you know about Project Ivy. We rewrote pretty much the whole framework by keeping the exact same public interface. And it took us about 3 years. So in this period of time, the whole team focused entirely, was heads on just working on Ivy. And we were promising that this is going to set the fundamentals, the foundation for way more improvements in the future. And yeah, these improvements are now landing in the framework. So with Ivy powering everything, we have more bandwidth to also implement other features such as developer quality of life improvements, work more on performance, developer experience, and so on.
That sounds amazing. Let's talk about the developer survey you did in 2023. What are the main takeaways?
I'll spend some time talking about the developer survey because as an open source framework, you can imagine we're getting requirements for what we can be doing on Angular from so many places. And maybe the developer survey is one of the most objective ones because we're just getting data that is less biased and pretty complete. We have a lot of open-ended answers and we get thousands of responses there. This year, so far, I think we're about like around like 8,000 responses. We're gonna keep it open until we get 10,000 responses and we're gonna close it. So we have just a very quick preview of the results. As of right now, since we haven't analyzed them, you can imagine that it's hard to read through all the 10,000 of responses and read every single word and figure out what are the top pain points. We usually analyze this with different data analytics techniques, with some natural language processing, and figure out the main themes. So as of right now, we are seeing that there are opportunities for improvement around developer experience, specifically around altering formats to remove some of the boilerplates, and also around performance. Server-side rendering is one of the main opportunities for improvement. And we're shipping a lot of new features in version 17 that is coming up in November. In version 18, we're just going to continue this trend.
Okay, so what topics would you like to address first, like SSR or debugging, testing?
Yeah, we can cover, maybe we can start with server-side rendering and we can move to debugging.
Okay, because the server side is one of the most needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. So, do you plan, if we're talking about SSR, do you plan to add some tools to support SSR?
Yeah. So, I'm going to jump now to version 17 and we can talk about version 18 and 2024 after that. It's just, we're doing annual planning right now, so we started to clarifying the idea for what version 18 and beyond and version 19 eventually is going to look like. In version 17, we're going to do a lot of changes in SSR. We already did them, actually. We completely re-implemented the way we're building server-side applications with Angular Universal or now with Angular server-side rendering. We are changing the way we think about Angular Universal, first of all. Currently, we have the @ng-universal/express-engine package on npm that we're renaming to @angular/ssr. So we want to make SSR to be a more fundamental piece of Angular. That's one of the main things that we're updating. And also, as I mentioned, we updated the way we're building these applications. Previously, we had to, developers, when they run npm run start, we were building both the server and the client separately, which was producing two builds. And the developer experience was bad, was slow. In version 17, we refactored this logic and we developed the so-called application builder that is building the whole application, client and server, and moving it to ES Build and Vite, which further improves speed and stability. So that's one of the main changes. This is also going to have positive impact on the production builds as well. That's part of the story. Another thing that we're doing in the server-side rendering space is making hydration, announcing it as stable. We already saw that the first month or so when we launched hydration, already 40% of applications, or 50% of applications, I believe, that were using server-side rendering with version 16 were already using hydration, because it was pretty much no op change. So it is pretty stable, but we'll just like to graduate it officially from developer preview. So yeah, these are two of the changes. From there on, we'll be moving further to more fine-grained hydration, because currently we are rendering like everything onto the server, and we're delivering this to the clients, and we're hydrating the entire application. We would like to explore how we can leave some islands on the client that are not hydrated, so that developers can delay loading certain JavaScript that is not essential. This is going to significantly speed up page performance, initial load time. Yeah, there is a lot in this space, actually. Another thing that we have been working on is making the Angular server-side rendering compatible with Edge rendering. So we have been using Edge rendering with the smart placement that Cloudflare provides. It is a feature that allows you to deploy your Angular University application right on the edge. So it is being served from the and rendered at the closest geographical location to the user possible. And from there, Cloudflare also does its magic figuring out if you're making any network requests, figuring out where it should place this process anywhere in the world. A lot of stuff going on there.
Do you think hydration is the answer?
There are different aspects of performance as well. We have initial load time performance, where we would like to improve certain core viral metrics. Largest contentful pane, we'd like to shrink it even more and enable people to load even less source code. There has been a lot of debates in the community. What does hydration mean? Because there are frameworks that are advocating for easy mobility, let's say, and they're saying that hydration is bad. Other people are saying, well, resumability is a fancy hydration. So it just, these debates are in progress. Hydration is definitely fine-grained hydration, whether it is resumability or partial hydration, whatever. It is definitely something that is going to improve these aspects of performance. It is going to speed up initial page load. There is also the runtime aspect with signals. This is going to be a huge theme in 2024, I guess. We're 2023 now. We already launched the Signals library for Angular, and we see that many other frameworks are adopting Signals. Today, I saw that Svelte is adopting Signals as compilation target, for instance. So we're going to continue pushing this forward. Signals are going to be also a core part of the partial hydration story, because they enable us to track certain like location tracking where certain object is being used, because at runtime we can figure out this dependency, and it allows us to smartly hydrate parts of the application. So in 2024, we'll continue working more on the signal story with signal-based components and more. Right now, for version 17, for November, we're holding this back a little bit because we'd like to really prototype what the perfect format for signal-based components looks like and how we can move it forward. And in version 18, we're going to make significantly more changes.
Okay. Yeah. So now it's time to talk deep on version 18+. So what we can expect in version 18? Because, so version 17 will be released like a day before NG Poland. So in the 6th of November. And then what happened next?
Yeah. Well, to give a little bit context about version 17, so we would like to push server-side rendering even forward. As part of ng-new, now we're going to be showing a prompt which asks you if you want to enable server-side rendering from the start. And it is going to be originally no by default, but because we'd like to just experiment with the latest features and get developer feedback and see whether everything works as expected. In version 18, SR is going to be enabled by default for everyone. You'll be able to opt out of it. We don't want to be overly opinionated about it, because still, SSR means that your hosting is more expensive. We don't want to forcefully push people to have expensive hosting for their applications if they don't have to. Like, we don't want to push the Angular framework is not a way for us to sell cloud services. It is for us to make developers successful. So this is one of the things that is happening in version 18 for sure. Well, based on the feedback we get for server-side rendering. Another thing that we'd like to invest further in is this partial hydration story. So we're working on the so-called deferable views. They're going to be an important feature in version 17. I keep talking about version 17 because the way we develop features in Angular is usually incremental. Yeah. We ship something small, we get feedback, and we build on top of it. So the deferable views are a new syntax in Angular that allow you to annotate part of your view as something that should be lazily loaded. It's just completely declarative. No need to use dynamic imports, no need for JavaScript, just part of your HTML template, you annotate this lazily loaded. And this triggers the compiler to produce instructions for lazily loading certain part of the view. And further, the Angular CLI is going to bundle this part of the view together with all of its transitive dependencies into a separate bundle that is going to be lazily loaded. And we have different triggers for that. One trigger, for example, is, let's say when the user scrolls and this part of the view gets into the viewport, we would like to lazily load it and render it. But in version 17, we're not going to be rendering it on the server. On the server, by default, we're just going to show a placeholder on the client, because otherwise we get into a hydration story that is not developed yet. In version 18, we're going to push this further. So we're going to perform regular server-side rendering. We're going to show the default content on the client. But this content is not going to be interactive yet. The user will have to just maybe touch or scroll over this content, or something in the application, let's say a signal propagating a state change, would trigger downloading the associated bundle, and from there, hydrating it onto the client. So this progressive hydration is a concept that, well, we have been having at Google for a while with a framework like Wiz, like for about maybe 12 years now or so. It's even more aggressive in Wiz. It's similar to what the community calls resumability. And we're just going to slowly adopt some of these techniques in Angular, which makes sense, which don't impact developer experience significantly.
What we can anticipate for Angular in 24, 25, 26? let's go through.
Yeah. A lot of these things, we also have no idea because there are a lot of things happening in the world.
Yeah.
We don't know that large language models are going to evolve so rapidly over the past few years. But I definitely see some interesting advancements. For sure, Angular is going to definitely significantly reduce performance, like bundle size for initial page loads. Change detection is going to be local per component, most likely, or per part of the component tree based on signals. And I see some applications of AI there for sure as well. There are really good models right now that translate from one language to another. So why not use similar models to translate from one version of an API to another? So AI is absolutely feasible option for the ng update experience, for instance. There are many other opportunities, but we can talk about them as they are.
Man, it sounds really crazy. If we can use ng update AI, wow. Yeah, I love it. I love this idea.
It's a very wild mad science idea right now, but eventually.
It's AI is everywhere now.
Yeah.
So why not? It's no brainer. That's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit for the plans for SBuild and Vite related to Angular?
Yeah, that's another big change that we're making. Pretty much the whole build pipeline is changing for version 17. By default, we're going to switch from Webpack to ESBuild and Vite. Vite is going to be used for a development server running ESBuild. And we're using ESBuild for bundling the application and also for minimizing the bundle, optimizing the bundle, compressing it. Vite specifically is really great for a development server because it has a lot of features such as this like lazy bundling. So originally at first, when you build your application, when you run ng-serv, or npm start, we're going to only bundle the files that are going to be immediately used for the initial page load based on your current route. However, after that, when you navigate through your application and you have lazy loaded route, let's say, we're going to send an instruction to Vite. It is going to bundle this part of your component, like application, like with entry point, this lazily loaded component, and it is going to provide it, which is going to be significantly like faster for ng-serf for the start. And from there also, ES Build as well, it is implementing Go way faster than Webpack in this case. We saw some performance improvements in the range of over 3 times faster builds for large enterprise applications with over 100,000 lines of code.
The ease of learning Angular is one of the most important topic, I think. Yeah. So how do you address this use in the future?
Oh, one more thing to mention about ES Build. I've been getting a lot of questions about how, like, is Module Federation going to stop working with ES Build? So the Module Federation solution that people have been using for micro frontends with Angular in the past, it is by Manfred Stair. And it is a really good solution that works for a lot of the enterprises. Also, he makes sure that folks are following best practices. What we are, we have been collaborating on making sure there is a solution, there is a path forward with ES Build as well. For most applications, this will be a no-op change moving from Webpack to ES Build. And for enterprise applications, may require some reconfiguration, but micro frontends are going to be available. So yeah, you were asking about the learning journey.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Angular, you know, like very transparently looking at Angular, it's going to be a little bit harder because it goes with some best practices like TypeScript. It already has static type checking. And you have a compiler that is telling you that you could be doing things better. This is already a barrier of entry that we're not willing to drop because just TypeScript is considered a best practice. And we believe that it is worth investing in TypeScript in order to become better engineer and build high-quality applications. Aside from that, we have identified plenty of opportunities to make Angular simpler. Like, making ng-modules optional is part of it. But still, it is not as simple as it should be. Now, if you would like to use a component in your other component or a directive, you have to import it, and after that you have to add it to the imports of your standalone component. We think that we can simplify this further. We can be reusing the JavaScript lexical scope. That's one opportunity. Another thing is signals conceptually, they are easier to reason about what you're binding to in your view. So that's another part of it. And one major part of the journey that we have been investing into is a better learning experience. So we developed a brand new getting started tutorial that has just the conventional textual tutorial. It has a video tutorial, and we're investing into a more advanced learning path that is way more interactive that we're going to launch later this year.
What changes in architecture we can expect in the future?
Yeah, there will be changes for sure in the way we modularize our applications. A lot of people have been using, let's say, ng-modules for this purpose. Now, ng-modules, even though they will be still available, they're getting less and less use in the community. So thinking less in terms of ng-modules and thinking more in terms of your conceptual, your like domain model and how you can group things together, this would be probably the main change. Another that I'm anticipating around signals is using RxJS a little bit more mindfully. I've been seeing a large trend for people trying to use RxJS everywhere, and that's definitely an option. Some places might be better fit for others. Signals are, for example, great for capturing local component state, and they'll be great for this. And RxJS is still going to be available and good option for working with asynchronous streams. Could be in different contexts. Could be user events. That's a great example for an asynchronous stream. Could be like a WebSocket, or could be global state changes as well. But for a local component state, signals may make more sense. So yeah, that's something that is probably going to shift a little bit as well.
Amazing. Angular is a powerful set of tools for developers. What do you plan to add, extend maybe, in the future?
Yeah, well, we are very complete in a sense that we have all the tools that we have wanted to develop. We will be just building on top of that. For example, we have Angular DevTools. It provides functionality for profiling and figuring out your component tree. Now we would like to also add dependency injection inspection, and we would like to add also routing inspection. Also, we'll be working closer on integrating these tools together. So we have the language service, we have Angular DevTools, and we have the CLI. Is there a way for us to combine dynamic with static analysis to make things even better?
Yeah.
So that's going to be primarily our focus.
Biggest challenge the Angular team faces now?
I'll say probably it's the biggest challenge, and also the biggest one of the biggest benefits that Angular provides is backwards compatibility. If we didn't care about backward compatibility, we'll be moving way faster. We'll be moving like, there are plenty of examples. Like, for example, when I was a solo developer working on my own projects, I would ship, I don't know, sometimes thousands of lines of code every day. And I'll be shipping new major version every other week. And I would believe that I'm not making breaking changes, let's say, when I'm shipping minor. But how would I know? Like, I don't have hundreds of millions of lines of code that are backing my library. Now we have at Google, I don't know, over 4,000 applications or so using Angular. It's hard to count nowadays. And we need to make sure that they're all working with the latest Angular, and also we're not breaking anyone outside of Google. So having this commitment is hard, but also brings a lot of value to the community.
From the perspective of a short period of time, how do you assess changes regarding standalone components?
Yeah, for sure. It's significant. Yeah, it's growing fast. And we're planning to instrument further the Angular compiler so that we can track on a more granular level how many standalone components you have in your application, whether you're using Angular modules.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much for today's podcast. It is, as always, is a pleasure to have you here. Thank you all for listening. Remember to smash the button and subscribe this podcast on the platform you like. And see you next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
2 minutes.
Excellent.
You like it?
Good job, you guys.
Awesome. Well, we have practice.